Right. And we're in week two of the Mindful Drinking course. We're talking about feelings today. And I posted in the No BS Facebook group earlier a picture of myself in this dress. So I thought we'd warm it up with a little story this evening. So when I used to live in California, and before that I lived in Washington in Seattle. And I had a group of friends, and one of those friends was my very close friend from high school. We went to college together. She moved to Seattle. I followed her, and she had some sisters, and all of us would hang out all the time. And then I moved to San Francisco, and her sister moved to the Bay Area as well. And she was a clothing designer. And these girls were beautiful, absolutely beautiful, tall, thin. I was always like super jealous of them because that was not me for all of my life. I struggled with my weight my entire life. I told you guys about it last week. And when Kathy, her name was Kathy, moved to the Bay Area, she started her own clothing line. She was a clothing designer, and she had this boutique shop, and I would go there and visit her and would see these beautiful clothes that she was designed for, like a boutique, right? So if you think California, you think boutique, you think not plus size, right? Like there was no sizes there for me. And I was really close with her, and I really wanted to wear those dresses and those tops and the pants and everything. And I always just felt so guilty that I couldn't buy anything from her. And I never said why. I would just go there and look at it, and it would just be like, this is so pretty, and kind of change the subject and stuff like that. But I was like really ashamed that I couldn't buy this stuff. And I just couldn't even tell her why. And I'm guessing she knew why, you know, but it was never talked about. Anyway, I'm sure you all can resonate with not being able to shop in the boutique shops, right? Or wishing that you could go into any store and buy any size clothes that you wanted to. I struggled with that for a long time, okay? So fast forward, you know, I figure this out. I lose the weight. I become a life coach. And Kathy moves on with her career as well. And Kathy's other sister, who I was also close with, works for a nonprofit in Seattle for the Pike Place Market Foundation, if anybody's familiar with Seattle. And Kathy decides to sell off her clothing line to donate funds to help raise money for the Pike Place Foundation. And so she posts on Facebook the rest of her clothing line. And I might start crying. And I'm like, oh my God, I can wear those clothes now. And so I bought this dress from her, and it was a very proud moment for me. And I didn't even have to worry about the size. I knew that it would fit and that it would look good on me. And I just felt so proud when that dress came in. And I took a picture of it and I sent it to her. And I just want you to really hear me tonight, to know that you all can do this. And I know that you can do this. And if I can do it, you can do it too. And just feel a little bit of inspiration to me. Feel to the topic is feelings tonight. So really lean into your feelings, and don't be ashamed of your feelings, and let them come. Like, just let them flow through you. They cannot hurt you unless you try to cover them up. Okay. That's where we get into trouble. That's when we overeat. That's when we overdrink and buffer and do all the things that will actually cause us problems. But your feelings that you have inside of you are actually not problems. All right. So I want to dig in. Thank you for listening to my story. I'm not going to apologize that I'm crying, but I just want you to know, like, there is, when you're in the moment of making these types of decisions to drink off your plan or to grab ass some food, it's worth it. All right. It's worth it to go into any shop and put on something that you find is beautiful. Okay. Like, it is worth it. And it's not superficial. This does not get old. Okay. This has been me for like 3 years now. This does not get old. And it's always a wonderful feeling to be able to do that and to feel like you can trust yourself and know your body size. My body size hasn't really changed in over 2 years. It's fun to pull out clothes from last season and wear them again. Instead of every season before, I would have to go buy new clothes because I couldn't wear the same ones because my weight would go up and down so much. So I just want to give you, like, it is worth it to do this, and it feels good when you can, all right? All right, so we're going to jump in. I'm going to do exactly what we did last week. I'm going to teach you a little bit about feelings and the way that I like to teach my clients and what I've done with myself. And then I'm going to bring on some people for coaching. All right. And MJ is in the chat or the chat for you all to, if you have any questions, or I might reference some links, but she's got your back there until we do some coaching. All right. All right. So week number two, feeling your way to drinking less and losing weight. So learning how to feel is literally the secret to becoming free from this automatic pull to overdrink and overeat. And most of us really don't know how to feel. We think we feel our feelings, but we don't. Okay. We might notice that we're feeling anger or happiness or joy or frustration, but noticing our feelings and saying we're feeling something is different than actually processing your feeling and allowing your feelings to be there. Okay. So in the workbook, there's this, I have three very simple steps to processing your feelings the same way that Corinne teaches it. The first step is just locating in your body where you're carrying that feeling. Okay. And where do you feel that tension? Is there any, do you, like when you do a little body scan, do you feel any places that you're holding on to or like you're clenching up against? Or is there any heat or edginess to it? You just want to locate sort of in your body where that is. And then the step number two is you just take a deep breath in and you expand your chest and you focus your breath on where you feel that vibration in your body. Okay. And then the third step is just, you just release it and exhale into that place. You focus your breath into that place. I took a yoga class last night and the teacher did a really good explanation of how to do this in your body when you're like exercising or doing yoga. Like we're doing this hip stretch and she's like, you know, notice where you're, if you're holding on to any tension and notice that in your body in this pose. And breathe into it and let your muscles relax around it. Allowing and processing your feelings is the exact same process as focusing your attention on a place on your body. Say if you're used to yoga or running, if you get a cramp or something like that, it's the same thing. It will sort of gather in one spot in your body and you just breathe into it. You allow some space around it and then you exhale and then you repeat. Okay. And you just notice as soon as you allow yourself to feel that, it sort of dissipates a little bit and it's probably going to feel a little bit less intense. What you don't want to do is resist this feeling. Okay. You don't want to clench up, hold your breath, or fight it, or be like, I don't want to feel this. Right. Like if I would have said, God, I can't believe I'm crying, and like and resisted that, it would have made it so much worse. Right. You don't want to resist it, fight it, judge yourself for having feelings at all. You don't want to resist it. You want to allow it to be there. You also don't want to avoid the feeling. Don't distract yourself with getting on your phone, watching TV, eating, drinking, scrolling, or any other distraction. Just notice it when it comes in, name it, breathe, and allow and process. Okay. Allowing and processing your feelings versus resisting, allowing is just so much more gentle and open. Okay. You're breathing and relaxing into that feeling. And you think of like ocean waves, breathing in and out, breathing in and out, and noticing where you're feeling that in your body. Okay. You breathe into that space and back out. Resisting just feels so hard and tight and painful. And in your mind, you might notice, this sucks. I hate this. This is hard. I don't know if I'm doing this right. I don't want to feel this way. Okay. You don't want to be in your mind. You want to be in your body. Okay. Allowing is processing or digesting the feeling. Think about your stomach and how it digests foods. This is the same thing we do when we allow and process that feeling. We're putting breath into it, allowing some space, and that sort of digests it and dissipates it. You aren't pushing it away. You're welcoming it in. Remember, just what I want to feel this. I want to experience this. Okay. Allowing and processing is being in your body. You're not thinking about why you're feeling this way. You're not keep telling the story of whatever the situation is that triggered your thoughts and feelings in the first place. Okay. You are 100% in your body describing. And if you want to think about anything, it's describing how that feels in your body and you're breathing and allowing and processing. Okay. If your mind starts to go back to the problem, say, no, we're not doing that right now. We're just processing our emotion. Okay. Your feelings are nothing more than a physical manifestation of your thoughts. That's it. So if you truly process and breathe and allow your feelings, they will dissipate and you will feel better. this is actually the way to feel better is by allowing them and welcoming them in. I know that sounds counterintuitive. Okay. So what you want to do is you notice that you say in your brain, I want to allow this. I'm choosing to feel and process, not think. Okay. All right. So there's a purpose behind why you want to do this. And the reason why you want to learn how to process your feelings, especially around food and alcohol, is because you want to interrupt that auto repeat cycle of experiencing an emotion and then going to your default programming of reacting to your feelings. Okay. That looks like eating, drinking, yelling, avoiding, scrolling, hiding, right? Retreating. Freezing up. That's being at the effect of your feelings. When you allow and process your feelings, you're pausing and you're not at the effect of them anymore. Then you become more in control. Remember that we take action, the do part of the cycle, the think, feel, do cycle, the do part. The action is based on how we feel or don't want to feel. And if you're trying to change habits or do something new, you have to be willing to interrupt this automatic cycle. Okay. So to change a habit, like stop over drinking, stop eating when you're not hungry, exercising, if you aren't an exerciser, you want to start exercising, you need to learn how to feel and pause before you take that action to break that pattern. Okay? You need to learn how to do that because right now you've trained your brain. Remember, we talked about this last week. We trained your brain over and over and over again, so it's filed in the archives there, and it's been trained how to do this really well. So to undo that, we're interrupting this automatic cycle to pause and allow and breathe, okay? And when you learn how to feel your feelings and you process them instead of resisting them or taking action from them, you can direct your brain to exactly what you want to do. It's very, very powerful. Okay, so remember, we're drinking, we're eating, we're scrolling, we're shopping, we're overcleaning, overworking, typically to solve some sort of emotional problem. And we subconsciously think that these activities will help us feel more relaxed or we do it to avoid the feeling that we are currently having. Okay, feeling and processing our feelings is critical to making progress in the things that you haven't developed as an automatic process yet. And our feelings are like little alerts. They're like little red flags, and we want to stop and notice them and understand why they aren't trying, what they're trying to tell us. Okay. They deliver important information that we just don't want to sweep under the rug. We don't just be like, I don't want to deal with this right now and like ignore it. Right. We want to, especially those really high vibration ones. We really actually want to pause and be like, what's going on, and listen and process and feel them. Okay. So avoiding or numbing our feelings doesn't help us solve any problems, like I mentioned earlier, right? Like it just makes the problems, it actually causes problems when we do this. This is why most people overdrink, is because they're not pausing and they don't know how to feel, okay? So it's created this issue of avoiding your feelings and covering up with food or alcohol creates such bigger problems than just that one vibration in your body in the first place. Isn't that crazy? Like, look at if you guys are struggling with over drinking, and maybe you have been for years, the problem that you have with that now and how hard that is to stop because you're just not willing to feel that uncomfortable emotion in the moment. That's it. Once you learn how to do that, you can let go of that problem. All right. I also want to recommend that, you know, we talked about like little wins, and Corinne and I talked about this on the podcast recording, which you haven't listened to it, that she released on Friday. I highly recommend that you do, but get little wins for yourself in this area. So practice allowing and processing your feelings when you feel good. Like that's really actually a fun exercise. So if you're feeling loving or happiness or joy or amazement, take a moment and pause and process and notice what that feeling feels like and breathe and allow. I do this every single day, and we're going to talk about my practice in a little bit, but enjoying and pausing and feeling that feeling, it feels so good in your body, and you don't need anything extra outside of you, like a piece of pizza or a cupcake or a glass of wine to like make yours to celebrate when you do that, when you pause and feel and just appreciate those good feelings. So if you want practice and pausing and learning how to interrupt that cycle, notice when you feel the good ones, and you know, you'll give you more experience practicing the ones that you're not really excited about feeling. Okay. The next thing I want to talk about is removing the shame when you overdrink. Okay. So a lot of my clients have terrible amounts of shame when they overdrink. It's very common. I would be surprised if everybody here hasn't experienced that, right? Like when you drink too much, especially when you're trying to cut back or you say you're not going to drink more than a couple, right? And you wake up in the morning and you're just like filled with so much shame. It's very common, but we actually don't want to use shame as a motivator to change at all. Shame is a feeling that's not necessary or helpful when we're trying to change our relationship with alcohol or food. Shame, you know, when we talk about specific feelings that drive certain actions, shame drives actions of holding back, pausing your activity, ruminating, beating ourselves up, more buffering with food and alcohol. Okay. So I'm sure you all can notice or try to remember the last time you overdrank or overate and you felt shame about that. What went on in your brain and what did you do from that place? Right? Maybe it was more drinking. Maybe it was like you go into another fuck it mode, or you don't make your drink plan, or you don't follow the plan that you made for today, right? It just stops you in your tracks and it doesn't feel good. Like it's just no fun to feel shame. Shame tells us there's something wrong with us, and there's nothing wrong with you when you overdrink and overeat. You guys listening to me? There is nothing wrong with you when you overdrink and overeat. I know, right? Like we're so used to being like, what? We shouldn't know, especially around alcohol. It's even worse with alcohol because, you know, especially if there's been painful experiences in your past or you've acted in a certain way that could be hurtful to other people. I know. You got to let it go though. Like it does not help you or anybody around you for you to shame yourself. And we talked a little bit about this, you know, on the podcast with Corinne. It's like, you want to be curious. You want to be like, understanding and compassionate for yourself, that will open you up to understanding what happened and how to solve the problem. Shame does not help you solve the problem. You're not digging into why you did this in the first place. You are probably are less likely to do an evaluation, and it doesn't help anybody. Okay. So understanding this ahead of time, you can decide that you will not be hard on yourselves when you go off your plan, because I have found that if you continue to have alcohol in your life and you want to be somebody that drinks occasionally, you're probably going to overdrink at some point. Just like with food, you're probably going to overeat. It's unrealistic to think that that's never going to happen in your life again, right? So we're humans and we're not perfect. We're not supposed to be. So deciding ahead of time that you won't beat yourself up and deciding how you want to feel when this does happen and making a conscious choice about how you want to feel when you do overdrink or overeat is super important in your growth to mastering and being mindful around drinking. Okay. So really good emotions that you can pick are like curiosity, openness, love, compassion, interested, determined, and committed. Those are all feelings that you get to choose because they get your brain open and thinking. Okay. Remember, shame shuts it down, keeps you small. These feelings open you up to problem solve. And you can figure out why you overdrank from this place. And that's exactly what we need to do when we do something that we didn't plan for, right? We just need to go figure out why, figure out a strategy for what we're going to do next time, and then move on. That's it. So in the workbook, there is space for you to do this. So I highly recommend that you do everything that I tell you to do and everything that Corinne tells you to do and all of the coaches, but like really take the time to write out what you want to feel and think about your overdrink or overeat so that you can call that up next time when your brain wants to go to the shame cycle the morning after or the night after. You can be like, oh, we decided that we weren't doing that anymore. This is what I wanted to think and feel instead. Okay. So this is a perfect segue in to generating the one feeling that will help you accomplish your goals. Okay. We can decide how to feel on purpose. Like that's the magic about this work. We don't have to just, oh, I'm feeling this way just because that's just the way it is. You get to decide how you want to feel on purpose. I think this is so fun. Like to have the power to do that, like, why wouldn't we be choosing all these amazing emotions, right? So you get to decide how you want to feel about your work to stop over drinking and overeating. Okay. So in the, there's an exercise in the workbook, go back in the first week where, when you wrote about that ideal relationship with alcohol or food that you want to have. And then I want you to visualize yourself 6 months from now, not over drinking, well on your way to your goal weight or at your goal weight. How do you feel when you are there? What's the one word feeling that you would feel? And you guys can answer this in the Q&A or the chat. Like, what's the feeling that you would have if you accomplished that? I like amazement. Like, that's a feeling that I've been choosing lately, or belief or enthusiasm or proud or accomplished, right? Empowered, peace, free, confident, proud, free, free. Yes. Yeah. Pride. You guys get to choose to feel that today. Isn't that fun? You don't have to wait until you accomplish your goals to feel that. Let that feeling that you think you'll feel then power you through and drive all the actions that you need to take to accomplish those goals, okay? So when you generate feelings on purpose, you want to develop a practice of this. So I recommend, like, in your morning journaling and you're writing out your goals, if you want to be, you know, you've identified them in the week one work to be somebody that doesn't overdrink, be very specific about that. What does that look like? I'm somebody that only drinks a couple times a week and never more than two, so whatever that looks like for you. Okay. And you decided what you wanted to feel on purpose, say it's pride or proud, right? You want to describe in the workbook and note and take some notes on how physically that feels in your body. So what does pride or enthusiasm or belief or amazement, what does that feel like in your body? And just spend a little bit of time there, like generating that feeling for yourself. And you know how you do that, right? By thinking the thought that you would have when you reach your goal. So like when you reach your goal, you'd be like, oh my gosh, I did that. I did this. This happened, right? Something along those lines. And then you generate that feeling in your body. And then you really notice and you kind of map it and remember what that feeling feels like. Okay. There's a space in the workbook for you to write down that one thought. Okay. That you want to practice thinking every single day, right? So you write down the thought every single day, multiple times a day, post it in the places you can see it, record yourself saying it on your phone, screenshot it, put it on your phone, put it on sticky notes, see it every day, okay? Live and breathe that thought. And then in your journaling, when you write down this thought every day, this is like the work of doing thought work, right? Like it takes some work. When you write down that thought every day, close your eyes and feel this feeling in your body. And map it out, sit with it for a few moments and let it vibrate in you. Okay. Don't think about this as like too woo or anything. This is like just brain science and it actually works. All right. It really, really does. And if you spend time doing that 5 minutes every day, that feeling that you're generating on purpose will fuel you to take the actions that you want to take, the think, feel, do cycle. Okay. This exercise alone has the power to change your life. If you commit to doing this one exercise every day, I promise you it'll change things very quickly for you. If there's anybody that has done this exercise, you know, here and you want to share, please do. I started doing this, I think it was 2 years ago, and it's become a regular part of my practice. Okay. And it feels good. Like it's actually a fun exercise. Right? To like go in and feel pride or whatever it is that you've chosen that you want to feel on purpose. Like it feels good. So it's something that you want to do. Okay. There's some extra resources I put in the workbook on the podcast. I get into a little bit more about how to feel and then belief. I wrote a whole podcast on the feeling that I chose to feel and do this work on was belief. And it's very good. It'll be helpful and sort of visualizing how I did it in my work. All right. So that's what I want to talk to you about. Feelings. They're important. You need to listen to them, pause, process, and feel, do the three steps, notice, locate in your body, Deep breath in, creating some space. Third step, exhale. You want to say, I want to feel this. You allow that feeling to come in and sort of wash over you. Give it some space to move through you and tell yourself nothing's gone wrong. The only problem with this feeling is if I try to escape it. And I know that's going to create more problems down the future for me, right? The problem itself is not in the emotion. All right, my friends. All right. So do their weekly drink plan in the workbook. And I can answer a few questions about the feelings, and then we'll bring on some people for coaching. Christy says, I'm having a hard time letting go of the feelings after I feel them. I tend to go back to the stories and get angry, upset all over again. How do you get out of that loop? So Christy, do you feel like you are actually pausing and processing those feelings? Like you're not in your head and you're going into your body and opening up and pausing and processing them? If you are, and they're not dissipating or changing too much, or the edge isn't taken, just tell yourself it's okay if I feel this for a little while. Like it's okay if it's not going away at this moment. Don't get upset because nothing has shifted or changed. It just might take a while, might take more practice. And some emotions, like I was really upset the other night for like 3 hours. I was really frustrated. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be frustrated. It's okay. Nothing's gone wrong, right? What you don't want to do is allow your brain to keep going out and spinning out in your head though. So you want to redirect there and like, just think about something else, go for a walk, change scenes. You know, don't keep ruminating and thinking about the problem. That's why it's like, it feels even more intense because you keep going back to the problem and then you're just dripping more chemicals through your body, right? You're just redoing that emotion over and over again. So give it some time, you know, maybe you schedule like 15 or 20 minutes, work on it, process it, and then, you know, be like, you know what, I can work on this again tomorrow, and then just go do something else, but don't buffer it. Don't do any of those other sort of behaviors that you think are going to alleviate that pain or that emotion that you're in. I would recommend having a list of activities that you could do instead that would be healthy for you. Patty says, what if I don't know what feelings may be causing my desire to drink? I have a good life. Yes, there are things in life going on, but nothing that many others have. How do I find and uncover these in order to understand? The quick and dirty answer, Patty, is that you just don't drink and you let them come up, right? So like, I might need to know a little bit more information about you, but like, what are your patterns with drinking? Like at the end of the day, why do you think you're drinking? Is it because you want to relax? Is it because you're bored? You know, there's some reason there that you like want to ask yourself, why do you think I'm drinking? And you can share that here, or, you know, if you want coaching, I can bring you on in a little bit, but you just want to uncover that. And then like, whenever your normal patterns are around alcohol, don't drink, like, and let those feelings come up for you. It might be restlessness, might be boredom, might be anxiety. But unless you give yourself a little break there, maybe like if you normally drink at 6 p.m., say, I'm not going to drink till 7 and see what comes up for you. Just be patient and like willing to give yourself a little bit of space there to figure that out. Nancy says, any tips or tricks on feeling your feelings when you're out in public? It's not super conductive to be with your friends and stuff and do a body scan. I'm assuming you do this work in the morning or evening when journaling and spending personal time with yourself. But what if you want to learn to feel your feelings when out and about? Just practice during alone time and it gets easier. Yeah. So Nancy, practice. And I say, I do it out and about all the time. Like when I'm coaching people in my practice, I process my feelings. So I'm talking on the phone to my mom, I practice my feelings. I'm noticing it. That's what it looks like from the outside. When you get good at it, then it becomes part of what you do on a regular basis. So like when I go out throughout my day, I'm so good at like noticing that I'm having a feeling first and then just allowing breathing in my brain. I'm just like, nothing's gone wrong. That is like after lots of practice with it though. So like I would start with the good ones, start practicing feeling the good ones, maybe by yourself, do the body scan, spend some time with it, right? And then when more uncomfortable feelings come up, when you're by yourself and you feel like you need to work through that on your own, that's fine. Some of my clients go in the bathroom. They just exit the room wherever they are. Maybe they go outside for a minute if it's really intense. Like if it's a big urge or something, then they're like, excuse me. And they just go sit by themselves or go sit in their car or whatever it is they need to do to allow themselves to move through that. But once you do it on a regular basis, it becomes what you do. Instead of ignoring your feelings or, you know, scrolling on Facebook or buffering in some way throughout the day, you pause and you breathe and you feel. So it's a skill that you have to acquire by practicing and doing it and learning and understanding as you go along. It's a good question. Anonymous says, I planned my drinks last week and drank as planned, 6 of 7 nights. I should have felt proud that I planned and followed. Instead, I felt guilt for drinking so often. This week, I chose to drink only a few nights a week. It's only Wednesday, but I feel so much better in many ways. I think sitting down and looking at how often I drink has made me realize I was on the downward spiral. I'm happy. I am reevaluating where I was and I'm going. Any suggestions on how to deal with guilt during this process? So Anonymous, you were feeling guilty because you had a drink plan and you had a judgment on how much you were drinking, it sounds like, right? So don't do that. That's not having your own back, right? When you make a drink plan and then you do a really good job following it, notice what your brain wanted to do. It wanted to judge that you could have done better. I shouldn't have planned for so many drinks. You know, not helpful. So I would just notice when that happens and decide what you want to think instead. Decide to have your own back there and just, you know, nope, that's what I planned. It's just like when we plan for a cupcake or some special treat, right? We don't want to allow our brain to like go down that path because you made a conscious decision with the higher part of you. This is what you wanted to do. So you want to have your own back when your brain likes to suggest these types of thoughts. And just very gently be like, oh no, that is what I wanted to do. I'm working on this. And next week I can decide to drink less if I want to, but everything went great last week. I stuck to my plan. I learned how to honor my commitments myself. And now I get to evaluate this week to see how many drinks I want to put on it. Okay. If all of you guys notice how your brain goes to the shame and the guilt cycle on a regular basis, this is a very, very common issue with drinking. Just have a plan for how you're going to react to that, right? We don't want to beat ourselves up or judge ourselves that we're having those thoughts at all. Just expect it to happen, but then decide how you want to feel. That was the, you know, going back, if you want to go back and watch the replay, that's what I talked about there, right? You want to decide how you want to feel on purpose there. Sub Uhi, I don't know if I'm saying that right. How can I differentiate between I'm restricting or allowing? What after every allowing thoughts and throwing all my whys is I still want it? Do you think it means I'm not allowing? No, not at all. Just because you want it doesn't mean that you're not allowing your feeling to be there. So if I don't answer your question in the way you need it to be answered, or like if I'm off track here, but like when you have these thoughts, like I still want it, that's not a problem. Right? It doesn't mean that you're resisting it. What happens when you notice that, like, I still want it. I still have this desire. It's like what I was telling the other person that asked when the feelings don't go away. You just accept it still. Oh, okay. So this desire, this want is lasting longer than I thought it would. It's not a problem. Desire itself isn't a problem. Desire is actually a really good thing to have. If we didn't have desire, we wouldn't like have any motivation to make goals, improve our lives, eat food, get married, get promotions. Like we actually want to have desire. And the more you guys can stop like fighting the desire and saying, gosh, I wish I didn't have so much desire for the food or the alcohol. That's that resistance. When you wish you didn't have it when it comes in, that's when the resistance happens, or you wish that it would go away sooner. Right? God, I just feel like I've been processing this urge for 20 minutes. Like, why is it not going? Well, maybe you just need to accept it. Be like, okay, so the breathing and allowing and processing, it's working. It's just not working the way that I think it should be right now. And that's okay. It doesn't mean that I have to respond to it. I can be with desire and not respond to it. It's just a vibration in your body. All right. So have a plan for what you want to do when you feel that way that does not include drinking or eating. Like, what can you do when you feel desire? Like, maybe you retrain your brain to like desire going for a walk or going journaling or calling your accountability buddy or, you know, doing a meditation or something like that. Yes, we want to have the desire. We don't Listen, when you don't react to the desire and you don't give in to the desire, it will go down over time, right? We this is the process of reducing your over desire for it. But like thinking that you're going to eliminate your desire for, especially if you want to keep alcohol in your life, like it's just not, it's not like a thing, right? So like welcome it in. I can be with desire and it's okay. I don't have to react to it. It's not a problem. If you actually went in and processed desire, it feels good. It's not an emotion like frustration or anger or shame where it just like washes over you. It's like a calling, right? It's like, it feels good. So like practice feeling that and processing that desire and notice the vibrations that it causes for you. They're not painful ones. It's fascinating to do. All right. All right. Let's do some coaching. Raise your hand if you want coaching. All right, Audra. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. Are you parked?
I am. I'm waiting for my daughter. She's in basketball right now, so I'm waiting okay. for her to come out. So, sorry.
That's all right.
I have been meaning to jump on one of these calls for a while because I've been noticing every time I journal, I write down the same thing over and over. Mm-hmm. And my thing that I've noticed is I want to drink. And I know that if I just like maybe had a dry week, then I could like, I have a feeling like the weight would just come off faster. Mm-hmm. I know I can do it. I don't know why. And I've noticed it's every Friday. I do it once a week I write it in my planner and I say, I want to have maybe 3 to 4 drinks or 4 to 5 mm-hmm. and I'll do that. But then like last week I told myself mentally, I was not going to drink. I was like, I'm not going to do it. And then my husband's like, do you want a bottle of wine? So I was like, sure. He bought it for me. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, I can't commit. Mm-hmm. So what do you suggest or what do you think?
I think you just need to practice committing and following your plan. So did you make a dream plan?
I have like in a different, like I'm kind of behind on things, but I have tried a different drinking course and I saw that where you do it weekly, mm-hmm. but, and then I'll write it in my regular, like my regular 24-hour plan.
Okay. But yeah. So I would recommend like just consistent planning is the first step, right? So like plan out your week. You can do it in the No BS planner. You can do it in the workbook that I created, or you can just write it in your journal, but like make that commitment for yourself and make it doable. Right. So you think you're going to lose weight faster if you don't drink on Friday night?
Yeah. I don't know why I think that, but I just keep telling myself that.
What happens when you drink? Like, do you snack extra too?
Sometimes it just seems like my will to be stronger and like monitor what I eat is like that wall is just like gone. Like, yeah. It's just like, I have like, it's just, I don't know, mentally, I'm not the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. So, after 3 drinks, it's really hard to do that. You know, like, are you asking yourself why you're putting 3 or 4 or 4 or 5 drinks on your plan?
I don't know. I guess just in case that I want to have a little more. Sometimes I only have 3. But I'll put 4 to 5 just in case I want like it tastes better that day.
Why do you think you want to have that much alcohol? Like what do you think is the reason why you need to numb out that way?
Because it's always a Friday night, and that's like a story I tell myself. I think it's Friday, and that's like FOMO BS crap stories I tell myself.
Is it, do you feel like you're carrying around negative energy from the week, or you just want to relax and let it all go and turn your brain off and all that stuff?
All of the above.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's what we really want to look at. Okay.
Okay.
This is why it's really hard, because you are like holding your breath. And if you need to go, just tell me.
No, I just realized I should turn another light on.
Okay. If you're holding your breath all week and you're like not dealing with your emotions and you're carrying all that energy with you to Friday night, and then you're like, oh, it's Friday, it's my time to just, right? And then you drink do you drink wine?
Yes.
So like it's a bottle of wine, and then that is numbing those feelings that you're carrying with you.
Right.
And so you're sort of anticipating feeling that way on Friday night. Like you want to release, right, and relax. And you're using the alcohol as a tool.
I know. So, I'm doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as you keep.
I don't know why I'm scared, though. I'm just like scared to do it. And I don't know why.
Well, answer that. What do you think your biggest fear is?
Feeling like I had a boring Friday night or something. I don't know. It's just
isn't that wild?
I'm just making that up. You know, it's just a story I'm telling myself.
Yeah.
And that's not true. I know I can have a good time without it.
Yeah.
But
I think you want to listen to that. Like, actually don't dismiss that thought, because that was the first one. You feel like you said it before, FOMO, right?
Right.
You'd be missing out on something. You might be boring. These are legitimate thoughts that you actually want to pay attention to. Because what's happening is when you think, I don't want to be boring, or I'm going to be missing out, how do you feel?
That, I don't know, I guess I just won't feel like, because my husband, he also likes to drink on Fridays. Well, he drinks way more than I do, but, and that's like my time to kind of relax with him and whatever, but I don't know. I guess I feel like I wouldn't be able to do that with him, but I know I can still do that. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. So what's happening is when you have thoughts like I don't want to miss out, or I'm going to be boring, or I'm going to be bored, is you're making a decision to drink. It's like the fear of experiencing an emotion in the future. Are you following?
Right.
It's like you work up this story in your head about how awful it's going to feel if you don't drink ahead of time. Right. And then that is fueling you to want to avoid those feelings at all cost. So that's when you overdrink.
Yeah. Yep. I totally know that feeling. Yes. Yeah. I've done that before.
Yeah.
Some Fridays I'll have more than other Fridays.
Yes. So the way out of that is to change your thoughts about it. Like, you for sure want to do the feelings work. Like, why is boredom or lack, or like you feel like you're going to be missing out on something? Like, why is that a problem?
Yeah. It's not. It's just something I tell myself.
You probably haven't even actually felt it and like processed it, I'm guessing. Your brain is just saying, oh no, there's danger up there. That's uncomfortable. There's some pain ahead of us. I'm going to get you to avoid that at all costs.
Yeah.
But if you actually were open to feeling it, feeling bored or feeling like, oh, I'm missing out on something, like that's nothing that you can't handle.
Right. And I know if I do it, I'll be really proud of myself, you know, and it would actually probably be like a really good mental boost. Mm-hmm. But it's just been such an ingrained habit that's why it's hard for me. But I keep saying I'm going to do it, and then Friday comes, and then here I go again. It's like, so.
Yeah. So like, you just want to commit, like make your drink plan, right? And then notice your thoughts about the plan that you've made for yourself and manage your mind on that. Like, what do you think about your plan when you make them?
I guess I just think, you know, well, if I want to relax, I might have one or two, or I guess that's
Yeah.
That's my crutch. I'm using relaxation, drinking as a relaxation, and it shouldn't be.
I wonder if you could change the reason why you're drinking. Like, what if you committed to not being using alcohol as an emotional tool?
Yeah.
So what are the other things that you can do to relax?
I've thought about this and I've only come up with a few things. And like, I thought, well, I can take a bath and listen to something to relax me and put me in a better place, you know, mentally. You know, but usually it's at night, so it's not like I can go for a walk outside or anything, or, I know usually what we like to do is we'll play like games on Friday, you know, quarantine, we can't like go out, or not quarantine, but with the, you know, COVID. So we'll play games, but I mean, I know I can do it, but I don't know. I haven't been able to come up with a lot of ideas, I guess.
Yeah. You don't need a lot. Just do like a list of five different things that you can do instead of drink to help yourself relax. And just remember that relaxation is a mental state. So you got to be thinking thoughts that will help you do that. Right. So notice, maybe the first thing you do when you get home from on work on Friday or ending the day on Friday is do a thought download and like uncover all the thoughts that you're having about your week. What's going on? There's probably a lot going on in there. And that's why we're seeking that relaxation so quickly with the alcohol in the first place. So that's a way to relax, like dumping out your brain and like clearing out your brain and getting that cleared up and then choosing how you want to feel. Just do exactly what I'm teaching you here tonight.
Okay. I'll have to definitely rewatch this because I want to write all this down and soak it all in.
You can. And practice feeling those good feelings too, you know, to give yourself a little boost. Practice feeling the good ones so you can get experience with it. And then when you're making your drink plan, really question why you want to put four or five drinks on there. If you have weight loss goals, you know, four to five drinks makes it really hard not to dig into the food. I've never been able to do that. And I'm not saying it's not possible, but most people here, this is a struggle, right? Like, I have some clients that it's not about the food at all. It's just purely the alcohol and they don't do that, but it's pretty rare. Your conditions are lowered. You're not making good decisions at that point.
Yeah. I've noticed that. Yeah. If it's anything more than three, it seems to be it's a lot more difficult.
Yeah.
I've definitely noticed that.
Okay.
All right. Well, I appreciate you.
No problem. Thanks for volunteering.
Calling on me.
Bye.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Is it Sapphire? You have to unmute yourself.
Hi, I didn't raise my hand. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay. I'll put you back. Thought your hand was up. How about Diane? To unmute, Diane. Diane, where are you? I don't know what's going on with your thing, Diane. I'm going to put you back. And if you want coaching, raise your hand again. All right. Does anybody else want coaching? Just raise your hand. Julia. Hi.
Hi, you can probably hear me.
Yeah, I can hear you.
But not see me?
Yeah. Does it say it's on okay. your camera?
Yeah, I'm on a phone, so that's, there we go. Yeah. It says I'm on there. Oh, there I am. So, hi.
Hi.
Hey. So I've been doing an alcohol-free time, and I think your program just came up at a perfect time to add to that. And I'm managing to not drink, but I'm proud that I'm not drinking, but I'm also having, I think what I was using drinking for was a way to replace feeling lonely. Mm-hmm. And so I haven't found a way, I guess I'm going ahead and feeling lonely without drinking.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm I kind of feel a little bit like I'm hanging on, you know, instead of really like owning it, like, hey, you know, I can be lonely and not drink. It feels a little bit like I'm just kind of managing to do it.
So do you know how loneliness is generated for you?
What you mean, why I'm letting my thoughts go there, or
yeah, like why do you think you're lonely?
I mean, I make plans during the day to do things with people, like mm-hmm. This morning I went for a really nice walk with friends and my dog, but then I come home and it's just me and my dog, and mm-hmm. So I mean, I guess, you know, I am by myself, but I know that doesn't mean I need to be lonely, but mm-hmm. I am by myself. Mm-hmm. So, and I think I let alcohol be a way of dealing with that for a long time, you know, mm-hmm. through a 28-year marriage that was lonely at times. That was my way to cope at night after everybody was in bed, mom would stay up and, you know, drink some wine and eat some chips and, which is not I knew that I never thought that was a good way to deal with it, but it's what I did. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. So now you haven't really addressed the loneliness, right? So you're just feeling this loneliness and you've taken alcohol away and you're just like, this kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what a lot of times I watch some TV and drink a big cup of tea. And then I'm like, well, I'm just going to go to bed because, mm-hmm. you know, it feels like the best way to deal with it is just to go to bed early sometimes. And
is your brain still like suggesting that you should have a drink?
No, I haven't really felt tempted to drink alcohol. I have felt tempted, or I felt like I want to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Especially sugar. I've felt like I wanted sugar. Mm-hmm. But I haven't, you know, I mean, I don't have any alcohol in the house. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to go buy any. So,
okay.
Yeah,
it just sounds kind of like you're not having a good time.
Yeah. And I think the evenings are the hardest, you know, it gets dark at 5 and I'm just sort of like, well, you know,
what are some of your positive thoughts that you have in the evening time or when you're by yourself?
Some of my positive thoughts?
No, some of your repetitive thoughts that you have.
Oh, about repetitive thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, I mean, I miss being with somebody in the evenings. I mean, when I was married, you know, at least sometimes we would sit together on the couch or something at night, or I just knew he was in the house, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, I guess I just missed like that feeling of companionship. And then I probably let myself panic a bit, like, well, maybe I'll just never have that again. Or, you know, so, and I have kids that live nearby and, you know, I could ask to come over and hang out, but then I probably,
have thoughts about that too. Like, you know, I don't want to be needy or clingy, like, oh, you know, grandma wants to come over, you know. So I do, as somebody just said, adopt a pet. And that's funny because I did adopt a dog, and she's super sweet, and you know, and she is good company. Yeah.
But this is the thing about loneliness. The feeling of loneliness is like the actions that we do to try to alleviate that aren't working, because loneliness is like developed by how we're thinking.
Right.
You know this. It's not about your circumstances either, because even when you were married, you felt lonely. And there was the house, you still felt that, right?
Yes.
And you drank from that place. So you had people in the house, you still felt lonely because of how you were thinking. I'm guessing you were thinking like, I feel alone, I don't feel seen, you know, what repetitive thoughts like that, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
And then you felt lonely and then you drank. And now you just have a different flavor of these thoughts. Like, I am by myself. It's just me and my dog. I don't want to be a bother. Right? Like, all of those thoughts are creating very similar feelings for you. And now that you're not drinking, you're just probably even more aware of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been pleasantly surprised with kind of how easy it kind of was to stop drinking, because I was ruminating on it a lot before I just said, hey, like, this is it. This is the day, I'm not doing it. And, so it feels freeing to not have that be on the table right now, you know?
Yeah.
But
you'd like to, you'd like to address the underlying reasons to why you were drinking.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is it. This is the underlying reason that you're uncovering right now, which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what, I mean, I would recommend that you do a thought download about being alone. So like, the circumstance is that you live alone in your house. Right?
Right.
And you have a lot of thoughts about that. Right? Do you do the
Think, Feel, Do cycle?
Are you familiar with the Think, Feel, Do cycle that Corinne teaches?
I am. Okay. Yeah.
So this is what's happening. You want to feel less lonely so that your brain isn't suggesting alcohol or sugar or whatever else it does. Like, and to feel less lonely, we need to look at how we're thinking first and like, unveil that, right? And then you can decide if you want to change it or not. And then you can feel better and you can enjoy this experience a lot more than just being lonely every day. Like, that's not, like, do you believe that that's just your circumstance and this is how it is?
No, because I mean, realistically, I know that there are thousands and thousands of people that live alone, and I don't think they all feel lonely. You know, I know it's because of the way I'm thinking about it that's causing me to think, you know, sad thoughts, and then the doing is, you know, eating sugar or just going to bed early to kind of, you know.
Yeah, it's not actually, it's not like that feeling isn't driving you to go out and make new friends, or if you did want to date, I mean, COVID, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not driving any actions that are making your life more fulfilling.
Yeah.
Right? It's just kind of shutting you down. And if you were drinking right now, it'd be the same thing. You'd just be buffering that feeling, and then you would just be still holding into yourself.
Right. And waking up, you know, feeling crappy and
Yeah. So the good is, like, you stop drinking for now, right? And that continued hard. Now the next level is solving the underlying issues to why you were doing that in the first place. And that is doing some thought work, getting some coaching on what you think about yourself in this circumstance.
Okay.
Willing to do that?
I'm willing to do that.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, my friend. Thank you for volunteering.
Sure. Thank you, Angela. And thanks for the other suggestions, people in the peanut gallery there. Thanks.
All right, let's do one more. If you want to come on, just raise your hand. Oh, All right. I'm calling on you, OTB. Hi. What's your name?
Oh, it's Roz. I don't know. I don't remember how what I signed on with, but
it says OTB Roxalicious.
Well, Roxalicious. Sorry, that's from my when we get together in our Zooms. My accountability group, we're the One Taco Bitches.
Oh, fine. I've heard about your group. Wait, are you in MJ's group? Is she a One Taco Bitch?
No, Kim.
Oh, okay.
Coach Kim.
Yes, one of the new, that's right. I heard it.
Yeah. So I hopped on today because I've been in the binge better course. Mm-hmm. And Corinne, ever since camp, I'm like nonstop podcasting. I can't get enough of Corinne or any of you guys. So thank you. But she said, you know, hop on this call, this coaching thing, if because it can help in so many areas. So yeah. I've said this before in the binge better course. I'm a diabetic who is in remission. I'm a member of Century Club. I've managed to reverse all the things, and I'm losing my next 60 pounds. But I often say this, that I use sugar specifically as if it were alcohol, because I literally get stoned, like blotto on sugar. Mm-hmm. And so I am doing thought work around that, but there just seems to be a general fatigue. And I'm just wondering... Oops, sorry about that. Oops. I'm just wondering, is that just another, is physical fatigue, is that a circumstance or is that a thought? I mean, how do I address
it? It can be both, right? So are you having like withdrawals from sugar? Is that why you're fatigued? Oh. Right? Okay.
I think so. And then it's just the cycle of it, you know, the ramping up and the coming off and the ramping. Yes. It is an actual fatigue. And when you don't have time to rest, like in the middle of the day, I wish I could take a 15-minute nap. Mm-hmm. So it's just I don't know. How do you? Okay.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're pretty familiar with the think, feel, do cycle or the model.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you can put fatigue as a feeling that you have. We want to look at what you think about what your physical feelings feel like. And if that could be a little exhaustive. Right. So like if you're thinking, God, I just feel terrible and I don't have any energy and this sucks. You know what I mean? That can give you more fatigue. It can amplify your physical feelings. Right.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Or we can look at it. We can put the physical feelings of fatigue like that you can describe that most people would agree with as a circumstance. And then what are your thoughts about it?
Okay. Generally it's not that dramatic. I mean, I don't feel like it's circumstantial. My brain is telling me that it's physiological. Like I literally feel like I'm crashing.
Okay.
And I use it to, but I also understand that it's buffering. I mean, it's, of course it is.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess I'm just trying to break that down because I love data. I'm just trying to get the data on it so I can crack the code. That's what my brain tells me. If I can crack the code, I can solve it.
Okay. Well, what kind of data do you need?
Well, in the Binge Better course, we're just trying to analyze things. Like where did it happen? When did it happen? What happened before? What happened after? So the data I'm trying to get on it is, I guess, emotions, which is the hardest to track. Mm-hmm. I feel I guess I'm just frustrated. Like, why haven't I cracked this? I seem to have gotten so far and I'm just like, duh.
But do you feel like what you're doing with sugar is less than what you did a year ago?
Oh, absolutely. You know what? I never thought of that. It's absolutely less than what I'm doing a year ago.
You are making progress.
Yeah. I guess I'm pissed off I'm not done with it. And I guess part of the story is maybe I'll never be done with it. And that's okay.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know.
It's like, what do you think is going to happen if you were to solve it? You never had to have another urge for sugar again.
Gosh, it just seems like it would free up so much bandwidth. Like I could finally have my dream career if I didn't have sugar, but that's not true. I could have my dream career, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Damn it.
So like, I think it's that idea that I need to eliminate it. That's very resistant, right? Like you're not welcoming in what is happening, like, and accepting where you are right now. You're also not acknowledging how far you've come.
Yeah. Cause I had never thought of that. Cause to me, it feels the same. It feels like it's the same, the same old shitty from my whole life. And you're right. It's not.
Yeah. I mean, you told me you met in Century Club and all these amazing things. Like,
maybe
that is a good exercise for you to do. It's just like in your journal, you write about how it's different now and how you use food or sugar now versus what it was like a year ago. And then celebrate the heck out of yourself for all the progress that you've made and enjoy what that feels like.
Okay.
And then just highlight all the things that are going well instead of focusing on what you're not having or not doing correctly.
Equal airtime, right? Yes. Yeah. Duh. Isn't it a trip how you like you know these things, but you don't really know it till you hop on a coaching call. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Curious. Well, thank you so much.
You're so welcome. And then just the last bit of it is like when you are feeling physically exhausted, don't amplify it by thinking about it so much. Like, I'm tired and it's okay. I had some sugar last night and now I'm tired. Don't make a big story about it because that's just going to amplify the exhaustion feeling. And then we're going to want to buffer away from that.
Yeah, that's totally it. Because it is a feeling of like, oh, here we go.
Yep.
Here it is.
This is where it starts. Cycle. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So what do you, what do you think instead when you notice that? Come on.
That's a thought. I'm like, of course you're thinking that because that's your habit.
Yeah.
And we can think something else. Although I have to work on that something else. I was taking notes from the last coaching call. I was like, oh, we could try this and this and this. But
you know what's not a solution for tiredness?
Tell me.
Food.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or alcohol.
Yeah. Right? Because it really is all the same.
Yeah. Like some water really would be great. If you could just sit and put your feet up for 5 minutes while you're working, close your eyes for a couple minutes, you know, go to bed early. Like those are solutions for feeling that way. Drinking and eating and snacking aren't, because it just keeps that cycle going, right?
Yeah. And it's funny how our story, okay, I'll just speak for myself, how my stories build. Cause you're right. There's like a whole like scenery and the velvet curtains and it's very dramatic.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
You got to make it really boring. Like Corinne says, right? Like you should tell that story and people would be falling asleep over it.
That's it. Boring. Okay. Yeah. I can try that. Right. I can try that. Well, okay.
Thank you.
Same here. Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay.
All right, my friends, that's what we have for you today. It was absolutely lovely as usual. See you next week, same time. We're going to have some fun and just post in the Facebook group. And I try to pop on there and answer questions when I can. You guys can do this. All right. Bye.